My partner Barry did as well. Barry wrote for The Morning Call. Is that Frank? Is that Eileen's? That's the breakfast joint, you think? Well, Camellia, we knew. Yeah, we got to the Camellia. I could have given him Camellia. I didn't realize that's what he was. What's that Eileen's? This is so funny because I asked the question and then you get the dot, dot, dots. It's so funny. This is so great. Now, of course, I have to vamp in the meantime. That was interesting what Neil had to say about that, the maiden that didn't run well. Right? Did you? Here, let me go back to find that. I think that was the 10th. Okay, that was the one that Pessin couldn't remember. All right, that's the breakfast joint in the Marigny. Okay. And I love, when I tell you that Houdat, and the item, the thing you want to try first is the Not Your Mama's Corn Cakes. Just unbelievable. And, you know, for those of us that grew up in New England, corn cake, breakfast, you know, breakfast, Johnny Cake, in Rhode Island parlance, corn cake. All right. Well, Eric Hamelbeck says he's hungry. Thanks a lot. Don't worry, Eric. He'll be down there soon enough. You do a whole show like this, just talking to everybody, sending me. That would be funny. Maybe not for you. I would enjoy it. All right, we're going to take the break. We'll come back. We'll go down to Ocala. Tom Ventura standing by, I hope. And Tommy also will pay tribute to Howie because he got to work with him when Kinsman Stable, George Steinbrenner, was utilizing Howie. Hour 2 at the races. It's a free-for-all. It's a travel day, though. This is what you got to come to expect that, because I was, you know, in the morning, I'm like running around, packing, trying to get organized. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
You showed me how to do exactly what you do, how I fell in love with you. You walk into a room and people fall for you, how I wanna be like you.
We're back at the races, 15 minutes into hour two, after a rather silly and I suppose frivolous visit with Neil Pessant, as we dove into the dining establishment conversation that is inevitable when Neil Pessant joins us. Tom Ventura was going to join us yesterday or today, no matter what, anyway, to talk about the winter mix sale as the OBS sale season gets underway. But then with the passing of Howie Tesher, it became kind of a double conversation visit, because during Tom's time with the Steinbrenner family, Howie was training. And Tommy, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Tom, we'll talk about the sale, but you know, I knew you'd have an appreciation for everybody for Howie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard a lot of the people that spoke yesterday on your show, and he's getting the tributes that he should, that he deserves. A guy that was well-liked by everybody. He was a guy that was hard not to like. And, you know, I go back a long way with Howie. When I first got out of school and I was doing an internship, actually, at NYRA in the racing office, and then when I graduated, I went there and I was working on the backside of Aqueduct in the morning. This was before, you know, we had these high-tech ways of entering horses. You had to physically be in little places. And I was in the track kitchen at Aqueduct and the backside of Belmont. Hmm. And Howie, you know, a very personable guy, and was very nice to me as a young kid. And, you know, gave me some, you know, ideas and things that I should, you know, pay attention to. And he was just a very welcoming guy, and I appreciated that. And, you know, fast forward several years, he started to train some horses for the Steinbrenners, which, you know, at that time, horse trainers and Yankee managers didn't always have a long shelf life. And so Howie trained horses, and then he didn't train horses, and then he trained horses again for us. But he always had a good relationship with the Steinbrenner family. One quick training note of a horse, really of no consequence, but it was important to me and important to Hank, who was George's son, is we named the horse after my uncle, Uncle Hugo. And he was a New York bred by Cormorant, so you can tell you how long ago that was. And my uncle was just strictly a racing fan, you know, and I used to go to the races with him when I was a kid with my uncles and my father. And so Hank said, you know, we should name a horse after your uncle. So we named the horse Uncle Hugo, and he won a New York bred race, broke his maiden, he won an allowance, I think, and But, you know, I still have the photo of Howie in the winner's circle with my uncle and his two brothers, my other uncles. And it was, you know, just one of those moments that, you know, regardless of whether it was a good horse or a great horse or just an average horse, it was a good day. And he was super accommodating to them. I wasn't there. Hank wasn't there. But he, you know, he treated him right. And, you know, that was their, you know, moment of glory in the winner's circle. You don't get it often. And, you know, it was great. And I appreciate, you know, what he did. But he was that kind of guy. He was very, very open, and he loved people, and he liked to do things like that. So I appreciated all he did. And as I did different things in the business, you know, he, whenever he came to the sale, we got together. And Steve Silver, super close friend of his, also lives in Ocala and goes, you know, went back and forth to Miami and kept in close contact. So I hadn't talked to Howie in a while, but certainly have kept up with him and how he was doing over the last several years.
Well, and you know, he really had as glittering an array of owners, Tom, as anybody during his heyday and during you know, his most productive years.
No question. And I think, I don't know why, but I think he had Tap Shoes, and then Horatio Luro got him at some point.
Yeah.
I think he had, but I do remember that as, you know, he's had a lot of good horses along the way. But, you know, he would make his New York-Miami circuit and certainly liked, you know, I don't think I've ever seen him without a tan. He was always, he loved the sunshine.
That you know what? That's funny. That's true. He always had that perpetual glow.
Exactly.
I love it. Well, I mean, you know, as I said yesterday, I mean, I'm delighted that you were listening. I mean, if I opened the phone lines, Tom, there'd be a parade, and I can just, it's amazing, just on social media, and of course that isn't accessible to every single person whose life he touched, and also, you know, he outlived a lot of people, undoubtedly. But you know, even people that you didn't necessarily know, you know, Jerry McLennan, Paul Pompa's cousin, Jerry posted on my Facebook. He said that when I came on the racetrack and was hot walking for 2 years, he said Howie was unbelievably kind to him. The young riders that came in, he'd give every, you know, much like Alan Jerkins, gave young up and coming riders chances on good horses. And it just, you know, one of these people, I saw a wonderful Chris Sheriff overnight. I woke up this morning and Chris had written that, you know, he was a guy that was sort of a unicorn, more fish out of water to some degree, because he was so sophisticated and well-educated and urbane and, you know, outgoing. And you know, the game didn't have that necessarily, all that many types like him. I think more came along, actually, later on.
No, I agree. You know, like I heard, you know, many people say he lived the life the way he wanted to live. He lived a long life. So, you know, good for him. And I'm glad I was able to, you know, be a part of a small piece of his life along the way.
I appreciate it. And we turn our attention to what's going on this afternoon and tomorrow, the first sale of the season. And there's actually quite a bit to talk about, not just about the sale, Tom, but also what's going on in March, the expanded March sale. But start with the kickoff to OBS's 2023 calendar.
Yeah, we're getting ready. We don't start until noon today. We have a little bit of a later start time, trying to give people an opportunity to look. We have about 270 horses to go through the ring. So we thought we'd push the start time back an hour just to kind of give that time for the people that might have come into town. We've got, you know, the mixed sales are strictly that. You've got a little bit of everything. We've got, you know, some weanlings, some mares. We've got racehorses that'll sell today, and then tomorrow we'll follow up with the open session. But there's a good mix of horses. It's been pretty busy. You know, there's people that come in from out of town. They certainly like to be in Florida this time of year. It's a good excuse to get out of town. And once we get them behind the gates, you never know what'll happen. They'll buy. Hopefully, they'll buy something. But there's weanlings here, you know, certainly by name brand horses and popular stallions and some young new sires. So I think hopefully we'll pick up where the fall sales ended.
On that topic too, I mean, the need to pick up broodmare or broodmare prospects, given, you know, what is a bumper crop, Tom, of new sires that'll be covering mares in another 4 weeks. It feels like, you know, that's an important part. In fact, just the other day, right, Colonel Liam going to Ocala Stud, and there'll be people that are, you know, looking to add broodmares to get covered.
Yeah, I mean, now is the perfect time. You pick up a mare. If she's in foal, you get a baby pretty quickly and then turn around and breed it. So the holding time isn't that long. And like you said, people can help fill the books. Some of those late retiring sires, you might have some of, the ownership of that kind of looking to kind of supplement what they've already got and pick up a few more mares and help fill the books of the stallion, add some more horses to the stallion's book.
Well, and when it comes to the ready-made horses, some of the ones, how many breezed yesterday?
There were 100 and about 100 scheduled to go. I think about 80 of them. Not all of them breezed. Some of the racehorses just galloped through the lane. You know, the advantage of the horses of racing age that we have is that we give these horses the opportunity to go on the track. Most of the others don't have that. The other horses of racing ages don't have that. We do that, and it really helps the young horses, the newly turned three-year-olds that haven't made it to the races yet, and putting them on the track and breezing at least 3/8 of a mile gives the buyer a good idea of where they are, both from a time perspective but also from a fitness perspective, and, you know, that they're not too far from taking to the races. And then, you know, the older horses that have been laid off, certainly helps them to go on the track to kind of show their readiness as well. So it went well. The track was very good. It wasn't super fast, so we had a 33 and change. But last year, you know, it was very cold. We had a sustained cold, and we misjudged it, quite frankly, the track, and it was quicker than we had hoped. Saying that, the horse that went the fastest won a $500,000 stake at Kentucky Downs this year. So that the fact that it was fast didn't impact that horse's career, but it was a reasonable track today. And at the end of the day, if the fastest is 33-1 and the fastest is 32-1, whatever it is, that you're all comparing it to the, you know, to that same group of horses. So I think everything went well. I haven't heard anything negatively in terms of the horses and how they came back from the racetrack. So happy with that. We keep after that track. We put a little bit more fiber on it this year that we hope will help it kind of stay together throughout the heat. That's about the only challenge that we have, is the fluctuation of the hot to cold in terms of trying to dial it in precisely, you know, because it's if you're at the racetrack and you run a race, and at the end of the race, you know who won because there's a photo at the finish line, versus the two-year-old in training sales, you have to keep that track as close to identical from 8 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock right in the afternoon. And that's, you know, and Mother Nature interferes along the way, so it's not a, you know, precise. There's not a cookbook that you can go to and say, okay, this is exactly what we have to do. So we've learned over time, and we're good with the Tepeda group that is now managing our track with us, and they we do some analysis over time, and and decide what we need to do in between seasons. So we added some cushion to it 2 years ago, and then we added some fiber to it this year, and the reports are good so far.
Excellent. Well, next 2 days, the OBS winter mix, including racing age horses, short yearlings, broodmares, broodmare prospects, in full mares, it's all there, and we'll be watching starting today at noon. And then, Tom, with the, the dissolving of the old Florida sale, the Gulfstream sale, the Athena sale, the the Calder sale, with that sale going on either hiatus or being disbanded, essentially, what I see the reaction from your end in terms of expanding March. Talk about how it you think it's going to impact the whole auction calendar.
Yeah, so I think, you know, one thing is that we have about 200 more horses this year than last year. I think they cataloged about 100 in Miami last year. You know, so I think in general, the March sale has done, you know, very well on its own. The one area that we have really, what has helped us attract a broad group of buyers is that it's not a top-heavy sale. There's opportunities for people to buy horses. We try and, working with the consigners, get some of those horses that are a little more precocious and put them in that sale. It's not a fully wide-open sale, so we filter it down. And we ended up with over 800 horses. We haven't put the catalog out yet. It'll probably be about 830. And we'll have 4 days of breeze shows and about 200 a day instead of three. And then we'll have 3 days of sale. And we were right on the possibility of having two very long days, but we thought it made more sense to make 3 days. We left the final day of the sale the 22nd, because some people have made plans or they have plans to leave here. Some of our international buyers have, you know, have already made their reservations. So if they miss that first day of the breed show, they might have someone here scouting for it, but they certainly need to be here while the sale's going on. So yeah, certainly appreciative. The quality is excellent. You know, it's the who's who of sires. And I think April will follow suit. And have a full stack. We'll have 1,200 in April, and then June, which has grown in numbers and in stature over the last several years, will probably have slightly less than last year. But that's kind of hard to determine. But we'll, you know, we might be in the 1,000 range in that sale as well. And that sale has been super productive. You know, we have Warlike Goddess come out of there, of course, Medina Spirit. So some really good horses have come out of that sale. So it's a legitimate sale on its own. You know, we're looking forward to another good year. At some point, the market will take a little bit of a deep breath. Things are looking very positive with the purse structure it is and around the country. You go through your conditions, even if you're not at the A-track, you're still able to cover expenses and hopefully make some money.
Well, looking forward. I haven't even talked to you. I'm booked for the week, actually. I carved out that whole section to come and spend the week with you.
Great. And then so then you'll go to Tampa as well, I'm assuming?
Strangely, no, because of the NHC. The NHC has thrown everything into a bit of a cocked hat, having moved to March. So I can't go to the Tampa Bay Derby this year.
I'm going
to the Sam Davis in a couple of weeks instead.
At the Steve Bick Traveling Road Show. It's been quite interesting to watch you travel from track to track.
I love it. And Tina does too, because I'm gone actually. And it's been very important in sustaining our marriage,
being there you go.
Being on the road for 2 weeks at a time here and there.
Right.
Tommy, I thank you so much. You know, it was going to be perfect knowing we were going to talk about the sale to have you also, you know, pay tribute to Howie. So fruitful visit. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and we'll see you here in another month or so.
Absolutely. We'll talk again before, and looking forward to another, I think the third year in a row that we'll be at the March sale, and it's just perfect because there's a constant parade of visitors, and actually I've got this new piece of equipment which makes me more mobile. I can go out, I could go into the backyard there, I could don't have to be in the lobby, I can be anywhere.
Great. No. Anything you need, get with me offline, and we'll get things sorted out.
Tom Ventura, everybody, Ocala Breeder Sales Company, and the winter mix starts today at noon. And watch the feed, and we'll see how the babies and the broodmares are distributed and more. And then we'll be down there for March. Thanks to Tommy. It's 10:30. All right, so we'll stay here, and we've got Andy coming up, top of the hour. I've got a couple of irons in the fire, and Case. Yeah, I think that's going to be a, I think we're going to maybe strike out on that front. All right, so be it. I may, however, need, we may actually have to take a break because the computer is going to die on me, and the cord is downstairs. So I've got to go down. Yeah, actually, Case, let's take a break. Yeah, I've got under 5%. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back. All right. I can catch up on some of these other results from the weekend, and start to look ahead too, because one of the nice things, we're getting so used to having all of these, these race weekends. We just came off of New Orleans, where they drew a week out. They drew Sunday for the Pegasus card. Nice to have that to look at, all 13 races. Oaklawn draws early. Their card came out yesterday for Saturday. So we can start to kind of peek ahead. But I've got some more. We got to catch up on the Laurel results. Nice job by Callie. I had one good idea, actually. The Jerry Robb horse that won was a decent price. I forget which state, but Callie pretty much laid out the other winners. And what else we got? We haven't talked about. Oh, did I? We put you. I hope we put you on Duvet Day, right? Did we talk about that yesterday? The McCarthy. That was tremendous. In the Astra? I couldn't believe the price we got. So, all right. Quick break. Let me go get the cord, and we'll pick it back up. Andy Serling, top of the hour. Popo, we'll do some recapping with him, too. Stay with us. At the Races continues, SiriusXM.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night